Welcome to the program, and I'm Jeremy Garlett here. Usually I'm at 12 to 2 in the afternoon, but today I've been sort of focusing on this particular program, which is called Health Matters. Good to have you with us. We have Mr. Wayne Flugie and Michael Winton, two people I know. But first of all, Wayne, tell us a little bit about what you're doing.
Good morning, Jeremy and listeners. My role at the Aboriginal Alcohol and Drug Service is I'm manager of program development. So basically looking at developing different programs that we can run for not only adults but youth looking to educate and inform them about, I guess, the dangers and harms of drinking and taking drugs. And also, I guess, helping support the CEO at ADS to run quite a large organisation. I think we have about 60-odd staff there at the moment, so it's quite
big. And a very diverse community too, isn't it?
It is, yeah. So we, although we're only funded to do the metro area, we have a lot of Aboriginal clients and a lot of non-Aboriginal clients, so,
And the importance of your role too is to get out there too, getting in contact with the community as well.
It is, and we do a lot of outreach, so we try and, I guess, spread ourselves out as far and wide in the metropolitan area as we possibly can. We have 14 different locations that we do what we call co-locations, so we go out into the suburbs to provide a service to the people rather than people coming to us, because, you know, we're located in town in East Perth, and sometimes it's just not economically viable for people to come in to see us, so... rather than them coming in, we go out. It's sometimes it's not ideal, but you know, and we try and focus on the suburbs which do have high Aboriginal populations.
And drug use is such a personal issue when it comes to people that are dependent in on drugs to some degree.
Yeah, it's
how do you get through that?
Well, I'd leave that up to the councillors. it is, I guess, people, I guess, like to have it as discreet as they possibly can. And coming into an agency like ADS does pose its problems, I guess, where people don't like to be seen coming in there because, you know, and we're in the same precinct as Derby Yerrigan and Yorgham. So there's a lot of Aboriginal people in that locality. But, but I guess the biggest step that people make is contacting us and then wanting to do something about their particular issue that or concern that they have with drugs or alcohol, and we're happy to provide whatever support that we can for them.
Yeah, and obviously you're doing a good job too from what I'm hearing. And Mr. Winton, how are you?
Hey,
Michael
Jeremy.
Winton, how are you? Haven't heard from you for a while.
No, it's great to be here, and we're talking about a really important subject, a subject that affects not just drug users, but the family of drug users. And it's my position in the ADS organisation to develop programs, and we offer programs to young people under the age of 18, anywhere from the age of 10 years old to 18, who are affected by people who use drugs or are affected by their own drug use. We also run programs and counselling inside prisons, so we... Yeah. We support a whole lot of people who are incarcerated, our youth as well as adults, and we organise counselling for people who are affected or their loved ones or significant others are affected. So we're talking about a serious life-threatening substance or substances that affect people's daily lives.
And you're looking at a holistic approach.
Absolutely.
You know, it's just not, you're not dealing with the person who's addicted, but the family members, which is quite unique in a way.
The ripple effect that drugs and alcohol are having on this community is devastating.
And I guess too, in many circumstances, you know, drugs or alcohol in terms of their area of need is not at the top of the list. So we try and take care of the other issues as much as we can so that people are then in a good space where they can address their issue, drug and alcohol issues as best that they possibly can.
And, of course, the issue we're touching on today is methamphetamine. addiction. And we'll go through this particular session here. And I suppose the first question I like to ask, what is it? I mean, I've been in policing for a number of years, I know, but out there in the community, what is methamphetamine and how can we identify it?
Methamphetamine has been present for many, many years in the community. You know, originally there was a substance around called speed or amphetamines.
Yep, yep.
And it's really a carry-on from that, but it's a much purer version and it's having a much more detrimental effect on people who use it and people who support, you know people who use it. So the effects on people's physical and mental health is absolutely devastating. This product, this substance is wiping out, you know, young people in front of our very eyes. And this is the point where this community, our community, needs to stand up and say no more. We need to actually make a stand against a substance like this, or the effects are going to get worse and worse. We're talking about a life-changing substance, a substance that we've experienced in the last 2 days in our agency, suicidal clients who no longer want to live, clients who are incarcerated for long periods of time and are still struggling with the substance. This is not a pastime, this is a lifestyle.
Yeah, and the effects, as you say, it's not only to the individual, but to the extended situations that have occurred.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, once a person becomes entrenched in using meth, the flow-on effects, you know, are to the family and then the community and, of course, you know, themselves, it's quite devastating. It can have, you know, ultimately you could pay the highest price you possibly can.
Yeah. And when there is a person who's addicted, and maybe people are listening at the program right now and say, what are some of the other symptoms that you could be looking for in a person who's affected?
The most obvious effect would be if you suspect someone is using, is that they'll be very animated, hyper-animated, hypersensitive. They usually clench their jaw and chew their teeth. They're usually the telltale signs. Wayne?
Yeah, look, there'll be an increase in both blood pressure levels, so but I guess, you know, you wouldn't really know that until you go to a doctor, I guess. Increases in body temperature, you know, there'll be a fair bit of sweating going on. Headaches, shortness of breath, hot and cold flushes, a bit of nausea, probably vomiting. And then, you know, you sort of move into tremors and chest pain, seizures, all that sort of stuff, and even possible cerebral hemorrhaging, so bleeding in the brain. So, but, yeah, there's, you know, and I guess the other thing is people can become aggressive and hostile, violent sort of behaviour towards family and community members, paranoia, including hallucinations, believing things are there when they're not really there. And I guess one of the other things is believing that, picking it at the skin and thinking that there are bugs and things underneath the skin. So
the behaviour becomes really erratic and often disassociated from how they would normally be. So loved ones can often view people who are using and can determine that the behaviour is not like their normal self.
Yeah, and this is real to a person who is addicted.
Absolutely.
It's totally real, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm. What are some of the long-term effects when it comes to sustained, well, there are psychological effects, I understand that, but some of the other effects that we're dealing with?
But probably the most obvious one would be weight loss. People usually don't eat, basically. And, of course, females, ladies can have lady business problems. And then I guess too, you know, the more dependent you become on the drug, you know, you don't control the drug anymore. The drug's controlling you and whatever activities you need to engage in to make sure that you've got a constant supply of what you're using.
I guess the most obvious would be the meth mouth that we talk about quite a lot. You know, the methamphetamine use does promote decay and gum disease. And it becomes quite apparent, you know, with people who are long-term users, or it can happen quite quickly for people, for some people who are susceptible, that their gums will disease and that they will actually lose the taste.
Yeah. And there's, you know, a lot of people also have chronic sleeping problems, so they can be awake for a couple of days on end.
Yeah.
And then when they come down, they could be asleep for a couple of days on end. So,
I guess the obvious thing that we haven't discussed is the mental health, you know, the decline in mental health, where people do destabilise and they're not themselves, and they will often lash out when they're destabilised. They'll either be extremely anxious or depressed. And they can act out inside of that mental health.
Yeah. So there's quite a few points when it comes to, of course, parents, family members that could pick up on this.
Absolutely.
And to sort of look under this situation.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we sort of call them indicators, and I guess if, you know, if you've got a whole number of indicators sort of all pointing in the same direction, you sort of probably it's a good assumption that somebody is using methamphetamine.
And what sort of education that needs to be done in dealing with, again, it's a big issue as well with family members to be able to identify the situation, identify it. Assess it, and then that is an education in itself, isn't it?
It is. We do a few methamphetamine forums. We have one coming up next week on the 31st at ADS, but we are also taking it out to the community to, as part of that, do a like a safety plan sort of message to the community, so that if they believe that one of their family members is taking methamphetamine, then they need to, I guess, set up a safety plan for their household, which generally means, you know, talking to the kids and having an action that they can do if they see, you know, a family member sort of, I guess, going into a psychotic episode. To get out of the house, because even though, you know, the family member, they may love and care for their family, but when they're in that state, we're not sure what they can do. So the best option, particularly for children, is to have them prepped up to, as soon as that sort of starts happening, get out of the house, go to a safe place, have that arranged with a neighbour or a family down the road. And if the children do turn up with and saying, you know, so-and-so is having an episode or whatever, to actually call the police. Because if somebody stays in the house with the person, you know, the last thing you want to be doing is confronting them. The best way is just to talk in a calm sort of downtone sort of voice and not have too much eye contact, because again, the person having the episode could feel threatened and then could retaliate. And one of the things we suggest is make sure that there's furniture or something between you and the person.
Yeah.
Don't get close and cuddle them, which is what we'd all like to do, but it's probably the best, the worst thing to do.
Make up a safety plan.
It has to be said that it's incredibly frustrating for family to want their loved ones to seek help for their substance use when they have no interest in it.
We're going to go to a song, and of course, we'll go to a song, and then we're going to talk about an issue when it comes to coming out of a situation when what happens to an individual when they're going through a withdrawal situation. So let's have a song, and then we'll discuss this and some of the other issues that you might like to discuss on the program.
map. Moving together, bridging the gap. World is changing, no looking back. Seven sisters on the first road track. Stepping along, down on the right of beach.
Here, right here on the Now Radio 100.9 FM digital. Afternoon here. Well, I should say morning. It's afternoons with Jeremy Garnett a little later, so yeah. Wayne Flugie is in the studio. Also, Michael Winton is in the studio. We're talking about, a subject that people don't like to talk about, these particular issues, because sometimes it's very difficult for individuals to talk. Why so?
I guess, taking a drug like meth, there's a fair bit of shame and stigma attached to it, yeah, and people don't like to let everyone know what their business is, I guess. But ultimately, when they really become well and truly entrenched in the addiction, it's quite clear and evident for everyone to see, and people make assumptions. So, but yeah, it's usually the shame and stigma around using an illicit drug, I guess.
It's a bit of a taboo subject too. Mm. You know, it's something that's been underground for quite a long time, but nowadays it's spoken to about a little bit more openly. You know, research and science says that most people that use drugs use for to cover an emotional pain or a physical pain. Mm. So if we're talking about it being out in the open, we're saying that people are suffering from emotional pain, and that's not something that people usually want to air publicly.
And traditionally at ADS, our clientele were usually, alcohol was always the biggest issue, followed by cannabis and then amphetamine and meth, sort of way down low. But in the last couple of years, methamphetamine is now our biggest drug of concern, followed by cannabis and then alcohol. So I think people are becoming a lot more comfortable with identifying the fact that they're using methamphetamine rather than alcohol. So
And when it comes to a program, do you deal with a situation like a 12-step program, or is it just a community program that's designed and contrived by the organisation or yourselves?
12-step programs have been around for a long time, and they're an abstinence-based program. Yeah. Well, for some of our clients, abstinence can't be really a realistic goal.
Interesting, isn't it?
We're just talking about minimising people's harm right now. Yeah. You know, the loved ones of people who are injecting methamphetamine on a daily basis want to keep their children and their loved ones safe. So, you know, putting a goal in place of abstinence isn't realistic. We just want to keep them safe today.
Yeah.
And our program is about touching base with professionals and medical professionals and mental health professionals so that we can actually work towards the goal of recovery, you know, from today onwards.
Yeah, yeah. On the subject of recovery, what's some of the going through a withdrawal situation? What happens to the individual when people are going through withdrawals?
And this is a subject that, you know, lots of users don't like to talk about.
Yep.
You know, everything that goes up, and we know that when you use amphetamines, you go up.
Yep.
Everything that goes up is going to come down, and you come down crashing from methamphetamine. So usually what will happen in the withdrawal is that people will actually sleep. They will oversleep for extended periods. And I guess there's danger in that they don't rehydrate and they don't eat properly as well.
Mm.
And the more you sleep, the more that you need to sleep. And after the sleep recovery comes things like anxiety, fatigue. You can get quite aggressive because you've got quite a short temper.
Yeah.
And that leads to what we call euphoric recall. And euphoric recall is that when you're down, your mind will actually remember the good times when you've used the drug, and that will turn into a craving, and a craving will turn into a temptation to use. And therefore the cycle of reusing starts.
Yeah,
you know, there's professional medical professionals who can assist with a medically assisted withdrawal so that it's not so painful, and we always recommend at ADS that you seek out help from us so that we can actually refer you onto medical professionals and we can manage the withdrawal. The withdrawal doesn't have to be painful and uncomfortable at home. It can be assisted medically professionally.
So you're looking at a cycle, aren't you?
Absolutely.
It's a cycle from one particular point to the other and arriving at that the other point.
But there's a proven pathway where we can successfully get through withdrawal, and it's not something that unqualified people should have to manage at home. There are professionals around, and it's free of charge to come into ADS. We can manage somebody's withdrawal and recovery pathway.
Yeah. The problems and, of course, the concerns when it comes to community concerns, when it, dealing with, again, we have our community and of course, mainstream community as well, because we're looking at two different communities and different ideas with regards to community.
Look, I probably the biggest concern is when a person is really coming down and they're going to sleep for a couple of days, and if it's just a single parent family and they're unfortunately, you know, using meth and they have children, and if they're asleep for a couple of days, you know, we need to be aware that there are children in the home and to be constantly, I guess, alert and going around and checking and making sure that everyone is okay, because when people who are under the influence of drugs, they don't really know what they're doing. So, I guess unfortunately, if there are small children in the home, they can be left to their own devices for a couple of days, or somebody's coming down. But you know, I mean, there's a lot of long term damage through the addiction as well. You know, that puts pressure on the health system in general, particularly in emergency departments and with the police, of course. There's violence and antisocial behaviour, I guess, that's associated with drug use as well. And to support somebody's dependence, it's usually, you know, they'll do whatever they need to survive, and that could be, you know, stealing and breaking and entering and stuff like that to support, you know, their addiction. So, and of course, you know, people that are manufacturing meth in labs and that, there's not only risk to themselves and neighbours, but potentially, a long time after that lab has gone, the toxic chemicals that were used to manufacture the drug are still there. And they could be there for more than a decade. And then that could have, you know, health effects on people who, are using a particular house that used to be a drug lab or stuff like that. So, there's a lot of sort of flow on, I guess, community effects that people probably don't consider.
We also need to acknowledge that methamphetamine is not cheap.
Yeah.
And people are using a substantial amount of methamphetamine every day. And if you're on the dole, that's not going to last you very long. So we have young people and all sorts of people who are committing crimes to fuel their, to feed their methamphetamine addiction. So therefore our crime rate rises. You know, our methamphetamine use becomes normalised. You know, it's, young people are exposed to it at a very young age. It's normalised and the shock value is no longer there. So, you know, we're
desensitised.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we're breeding young people who are no longer shocked by the effects of heavy drug use and injecting behaviours. And all of a sudden, you know, we've raised a generation of young people who have no, and are not frightened of drug use.
And
behaviour becomes quite normal.
You've seen this in the community as well.
And look, you know, particularly younger people, they will do whatever they need to do to get hold of money, and that creates a whole new series of health risks for themselves. And you know, engaging in activities that potentially are very unsafe.
It's not unusual for us to see young people whose parents inject methamphetamine, and grandparents as well. So it can, you know, generational, it can be really evident.
Well, Mr. Fluggy, we have to discuss, I suppose, the history of the Aboriginal Drug Alcohol and Drug Service. Tell us a little bit about the history of the organisation, how it started.
It's been a fair while ago. It was back in 1988. There was a group of 40 local Aboriginal people who got together to discuss their concerns that mainstream services were not responding effectively to the needs of our mob in as far as alcohol and substance abuse was concerned, or substance use. So they made a decision to set up an Aboriginal service that catered, I guess, more appropriately and culturally met the needs of Aboriginal people around the metro area. And that service is actually called the Noongar Aboriginal Substance Abuse Service, NASAS. And that was incorporated in 1989. But by 1993, NASAS had purchased an office and a program facility based in East Perth, where it conducted all its counselling and family intervention and community development programs, education and drug awareness stuff. And it was always in the context of our people's needs are our major priority. So we're really taking care of particularly the Noongar folk in the Perth Metro. Since then, look, the service has really evolved and expanded enormously. Firstly, in 2005, when the name was changed to the Aboriginal Alcohol and Drug Service, or ADS as we call it, and that was to better reflect the client group and to have a more inclusive service aim that was really to make a difference by providing strong leadership in the treatment and prevention of alcohol and other drug use amongst our mob and also non-Aboriginal people. At the moment, I think it's about one third of our clients are non-Aboriginal people, so we will happily service anyone. In the last couple of years, there's still been some, again, huge changes under our current CEO, Daniel Morrison. He's doing a really good job.
Amazing job.
So we're expanding quite a bit. And as I said, currently we have around about 60-odd staff. And we're improving and getting some really talented staff, like the gentleman sitting next to me. I've got to give him a plug.
It's an incredible depth of history in this organisation. And, you know, what I know is that ADS is probably the most responsive provider for drugs and alcohol in the sector. You don't need an appointment, you know. We know that people get really frustrated when they're trying to help their loved ones and there are wait lists. We don't have wait lists at the Aboriginal Alcohol and Drug Service. You can bring your loved one or you can rock up yourself and you can see someone within 10 minutes. You know, we have people permanently on duty. And, you know, we use culture as central for people to recover. That's really, really important, you know. It is said in studies that the solution to addiction is connection. And what perfect connection culture is.
It's very
powerful.
And ADS is actually the only Aboriginal community-controlled alcohol and drug service in the Perth Metro as well, so a bit of a unique service.
Would there be any room for movement outside of the metropolitan area?
That would be great.
Wouldn't it be amazing? Yeah, because there's so much strength there when it comes to, I mean, I remember, well, 1988, we were talking about various organisations, and ADS was, that's when it was conceived, the idea and people coming together, but also the cultural process of connection that you've mentioned, connection too, which is a really important point. How important do you think that connection is to culture and community?
We see the results every day. We run daily groups on site in East Perth, and we see miracles happen before our eyes. Yeah. We actually see people get better on a daily basis.
Mm.
We experienced that just yesterday. A young lady came into our agency who had disappeared from view, and we, of course, thought that she hadn't done very well, and she rocked up and she was 9 months clean from injecting $1,000 of methamphetamine a day.
Wow. Yeah. Fine example, isn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely coherent, and you just knew, no, she's well and truly on the road to recovery and getting her life really back on track. And it was just, it was quite amazing to see.
Those sorts of stories would give you so much, in a word of hope. You feel hope when you see something happen like that.
In a world of negativity, when we talk about people who inject methamphetamine, it's not a nice subject, but there's some miracles that happen. People actually do recover, and people recover really well.
Yeah. And I guess too, we see a lot of the downside working at the coalface every day with drug and alcohol and people, I guess, at their lowest. And sometimes you sort of think, is it really worth it? But then you get somebody walk through the door that says, hey, I'm back and I'm on track, and particularly if they've, like the young lady yesterday, 9 months clean and living a very happy life.
Yeah.
We see people get their children back. Once they recover, they get their lives back on track. It's noticed from other major agencies who are invested in their cases, and people get their children returned to them.
Wow,
that's incredible.
And you can see what the pathway that they've gone through, and of course, the positive process is that there's so much hope for them to look at their situation and know where they're going, and family and children. Again, that's the connection, which it's a pretty important process when it comes to going into healing and getting healed. And that is a very important key, really, to see that people are out there that can get some assistance. Yeah.
People and families do survive meth addiction.
Let's talk about the agency, where the agency is, and if people would like more information, I'm sure they'd love to come in there and speak to you guys.
Yeah, look, we're physically located at 211 Royal Street in East Perth. We're open Monday to Friday, so yeah, unfortunately we're not open on weekends, which is, I guess, a gap in the service. The doors open at 9 and close at 4, but appointments can be made between 9 and 6, so happy to do that and try and, as best we can, meet the needs of the community.
And what do people have to do? Maybe a family member might want to come in and talk.
Yeah.
It's really easy, Jeremy. Yeah. All you have to do is come through the doors at our East Perth site.
Mm.
You'll be welcomed and you'll be greeted with a big smile, and you'll be greeted by people who are willing to go the extra mile to help you. And we work holistically, we work generationally and age appropriately.
Yeah.
We have young role model, Aboriginal role models on staff to work with young people.
Mm.
We have respected mature Aboriginal men who work in our agencies who can work appropriately with men. There's all sorts of ways that we can work, and we will tailor a treatment plan individually for our clients.
Mm. Yeah. We have a few non-Aboriginal staff members as well, and if our mob don't particularly want to see a Noongar councillor, that's cool. We're okay with that. It's really whatever makes the client feel most comfortable so that we can help support them.
Yeah. We're just going to a track, and I thought this one is an ideal song to play. this morning, and I think you'll both know this song. It's sort of age appropriate, or I think we're all two young people in the studio at the moment, and us three old men.
Hey. It's a very good morning. Welcome to Health Matters. Jeremy Garlett here on Noongar Radio 100.9 FM Digital. And of course, we've been broadcasting here throughout Perth in the metropolitan area. And this program will be heard on the network of stations right across Australia too as well. So it's good to have Wayne Flugie in the studio and Michael Winton, who's talking right here regarding health matters. And these are real health matters. And we've had some very interesting feedback to the program as well. And over to you, Wayne.
I guess what we'd like to do is just sort of, Mike's just going to give a bit more information about some of the services that we provide. So I'll just throw it over to you, Mike.
Okay. I mean, we've talked a lot about the negative aspects of methamphetamine and that there is hope at the end of the tunnel. And we wanted to talk just for a few minutes about the services and programs that ADS actually offers. You know, we currently run through some of our facilitators at the East Perth site some community education. We have school groups and TAFE groups that come in, and we talk to them about the effects and the treatment pathways that are available for not just methamphetamine but any drug and alcohol issues. We have an extensive portfolio of programs for youth that go from the age of 10 years and up. You know, and we talk about, with 10-year-olds, we talk about what a safe place is and what happens if your safety is threatened. And that can have a lot to do with drug-using behaviour that they're exposed to at a very young age. And if they feel unsafe, that there are places that they can seek out to be safe. Yeah. Another really important element of our programs is in prisons. We run a program in an maximum security prison called Pathways, which is an established, successful CBT kind of pathway where people are exposed to ways to look at their drug use and on methods of stepping out. We also offer a through care service that when they're released from prison, they can seek us out for further intensive support. We also have established working relationships and pathways into residential, people who feel they need to have residential treatment, so rehabs where they go and live for a minimum of 12 or 14 weeks. And ADS is really lucky to have preference and express pathways, so we can fast track sometimes some clients into residential treatment if they require that kind of intensity. So we have a whole gamut of programs, and we're always developing and improving our programs so that they're really effective and addressing drug and alcohol issues in the community today.
Yeah, and look, when people, I guess, have made that decision that they want to try and address their drug issue, and they usually come into us and say, look, you know, I want to go into rehab to do something about it. It's not quite that simple a process. And first you have to have a detox. Fortunately for ADS, we have two partner agencies with Dawn, the Drug and Alcohol Withdrawal Network, which is a home-based detox provided by St John of God, and also Next Step, which is located, it's probably only about 100, 150 metres from ADS, and that's a seven-day intensive in-house detox. And I think we have four beds in that facility dedicated for our Aboriginal clients, where they not only can take themselves in, but if they need a support person, then they can take somebody in to support them. There are, of course, a lot of quite rigid rules around, you know, residential, which I guess is sometimes doesn't sort of meet the requirements of what Aboriginal folks sort of believe they need to stay there. Like, you know, you're not, they have to stay in there. They can't go out. They can't really have family come and visit them or talk to them and stuff like that. It's, you know, they have to be there.
It's for treatment, isn't it?
That's right. And it's a medical detox. So, and a lot of our folk don't sort of stay the distance, which is unfortunate, but, you know, we have got Dawn doing our in-home one where it's safe to do that. So, and then, of course, we have Palmerston and Serenian House that we have dedicated Aboriginal beds at the rehabs as well. So,
yeah,
and
yeah,
they're quite
yeah.
well used. So, you know, we are putting people through that have made that step to try and do something about their addiction.
And of course, yeah, go on.
Residential treatment isn't the only option.
No.
Although we have that that option to use, we have found that for whatever reason that clients don't want to be away from their family, they don't want to be off country, they're not comfortable living in a community of 40 strangers, that we've actually developed our own, what we call a dayhab, where clients don't need to go away to a residential treatment program, that they could attend our program, and we've called that program Solid Ground. And that Solid Ground program happens at our East Perth site, and you get the same level of therapeutic community that you would get in a residential rehab, only we do it as a day rehab where you can go home at night time. It's run by highly qualified and skilled people, and again we use culture as central, and the results coming out of that program are incredible. So,
and you'll be seeing this all the time through your experience, wouldn't it?
There are generations of people going through the program now, people coming back and supporting new people. So we use we use peer support as method to recovery, and that's an incredible program that's just growing and growing.
And a very valuable service. And the other point which you raised just before coming into this interview just then, you did talking about a proactive program for young people as well as families and extended families. And of course the diversity, we've touched on the subject of diversity. People have got a host of diverse needs too. People in a cultural setting, people would want to go into Serenity House or up in the farm area there with Jenny and and they like being there and finding it much more easy to be. Some people like that atmosphere.
Yeah, and I guess that's what we try and cater for. It's whatever they would believe that they need to actually succeed in. Completing a rehab. Some folk like to be away from family so that they can really disconnect and just concentrate on what the program is offering, whereas others, and particularly with our solid ground mob, the call of the family is really, really strong and they feel that they need to be in constant contact with the family. And that's fine too, we're there to support them in whatever way that we possibly can to get the best outcome for the person. So
the biggest avenue to relapse for people relapsing into drug using behaviour is negative peers around them. They're falling with their old friends. And what we know is that sometimes people need to go away from their temptations. And we entrust people like Jenny Hamilton out at, who manages the Serenia program. They do a fantastic job, and we're really happy, and we have 100% faith in handing over our clients in their duty of care, and that they come back with 3 months under their belt of no drug using. That's a miracle for some people.
And of course Jenny is, if she's listening to the program, it's a very, very good morning to you, Jenny. And she is doing a good job out there.
Some of the other key messages that we'd like to get out there before we're finished here is that, if you need a service, if you want to do something about drugs or alcohol, you can call ADS, the Aboriginal Alcohol and Drugs Service, 5 days a week, 9 o'clock to 4. Our number is 089-221-1411. Or you can just simply drop in. You don't need an appointment. Come in, and as Mike said, we have two what we call duty counsellors on standby, so they will see anyone as soon as you walk through the door. There's also on the weekend, when most of the services are closed, for meth, you can call the meth helpline. That number is 1-800-874-878. And you'll get non-judgmental support through the meth helpline, and their advice is 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. So, and I guess the final key message is it's important to look after your and your family's safety first, and ultimately, don't get involved in particularly methamphetamine, but drugs in general.
Michael.
This has been a really powerful program, and
thanks. And you are doing an amazing job, both of you.
And I guess the message for people is don't get involved. But for those who are already in the traps of drug and alcohol use, we're offering you a way out. Offering you a pathway to the freedom from the burden of drugs and alcohol, and it may be really difficult, but you just need to step into our space and hand over, give it up, and we're really happy to go completely out of our way and support people in fixing their issues.
Wayne Flugie, last word. want to add anything more? I think it's you've touched on some amazing points, and we have received some good feedback regarding this particular program, and it is really important.
Yeah. Look, there's lots of options available for people. Ads is one option, but there's lots of other services and rehabilitation centres available. There's also three in the north of the state, one in Kalgoorlie, one in Geraldton. You know, if you feel that you need support, you know, to try and do something about your drug addiction or whatever, yeah, look, we're happy to help you and point you in the right direction to whatever service that you feel that you need and we think would be the best one to support yourselves.
Wayne, what about the forums that are coming up? If clients are interested in seeking out any information about or any education, when's our next forum?
Our next forum is next Thursday, I think it is, the 31st of March. Is it Thursday or Friday?
Friday.
So it's Friday next week. And we're holding those at ADS probably every couple of months. And it's very much similar to what we've done today. It's, we have one of our counsellors is very much what we consider an expert in methamphetamine. She will go through and describe, you know, what it is, what it does to you and all that sort of stuff. We bring along five of our partner services to DAZE Drug and Alcohol Youth Service. That's a rehab for under 18-year-olds, which is, again, not far from ADS. It's a couple of hundred metres away. Next Step and Dawn and Serenian and Palmerston come and give a little spiel about their services and what they provide and, you know, some of the requirements that they expect from their clients when they're there. And then we do a little session on the types of programs that we have to support people and, of course, the in-home safety plan, setting that up. We run through that as well and try and, I guess, put everything in place that families need to I guess best cope with somebody that is unfortunately addiction.
Yeah. Well, the program you were listening to, or you not listening to now, but Health Matters, and thank you very much, Wayne Flugy and Michael Winton. Thank you for coming in the studio. Really, it has given me an education on the program too. So, thanks very much for coming on.
Thanks. Thank you, Jeremy. Yeah.
Hey, Bob, it's Tara, and you're listening to Noongar Radio.